Chapter 1, beginning at verse 1 and reading through to the end of chapter 2, the book of Job, chapter 1. Let us hear God's word together. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels, and 500 yoke of oxen and 500 she-asses, and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the east. And his sons went and feasted in their houses, every one his day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and to drink with them. And it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning, and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, "It may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts." Thus did Job continually. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, "Whence comest thou?" And Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it." And the Lord said unto Satan, "Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil?" Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "Doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made an hedge about him and about his house, and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face." And the Lord said unto Satan, "Behold, all that he hath is in thy power, only upon himself put not forth thine hand." So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. And there was a day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house, and there came a messenger unto Job and said, "The oxen were ploughing, and the asses feeding beside them, and the Sabaeans fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee." While he was yet speaking, there came also another, and said, "The fire of God is fallen from heaven, and hath burned up the sheep and the servants, and consumed them, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee." While he was yet speaking, there came also another, and said, "The Chaldeans made out 3 bands, and fell upon the camels, and have carried them away, yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee." While he was yet speaking, there came also another, and said, "Thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house, and behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness, and smote the 4 corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee." Then Job arose, and rent his mantle, and shaved his head, and fell down upon the ground, and worshipped, and said, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." In all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said unto Satan, "From whence comest thou?" And Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it." And the Lord said unto Satan, "Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? and still he holdest fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause. And Satan answered the Lord and said, Skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. But put forth thine hand now, and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life. So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord, and smote Job with sore boils, from the sole of his foot unto his crown. And he took him a potsherd to scrape himself withal, and he sat down among the ashes. Then said his wife unto him, Dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. But he said unto her, Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What, shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? In all this did not Job sin with his lips. Now when Job's three friends heard of all this evil that was come upon him, they came every one from his own place, Eliphaz the Temanite, and Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamathite, for they had made an appointment together to come to mourn with him and to comfort him. And when they lifted up their eyes afar off and knew him not, they lifted up their voice and wept, and they rent every one his mantle and sprinkled dust upon their heads toward heaven. So they sat down with him upon the ground 7 days and 7 nights, and none spake a word unto him, for they saw that his grief was very great. Amen. May the Lord bless that very solemn reading to our hearts. Let's come in prayer, shall we? May the Lord help us to pray aright. Let us all pray. Our gracious God, it is a privilege again to enter into thy gates with thanksgiving and into thy courts with praise. And we pray at the outset of our worship this morning for the gracious help of thy Holy Spirit. How much we need the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And as we come in prayer, we would ask that our words shall not simply be multiplied in thy presence because we feel the need for this, and some sort of a convention, some sort of a custom, some sort of a tradition causes us to think in this way. But we pray that we might come in that true spirit of prayer, that our words might be as the words of the psalmist, My heart is inditing of a good matter, I will speak of the things concerning the King. We pray, dear Lord, this morning that as we come, that all our thoughts, all our expectations, all our worship shall be concerning the King. Not any earthly king or potentate, but the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Lord who is enthroned in heavenly splendour, the first begotten from the dead. And we pray, dear Lord, that our hearts shall be touched, and our eyes shall be enabled spiritually to look upwards, that we might enter into that true realm of worship, not simply being bound to the things of time, but that we might taste of those powers of the world to come as we enter into thy most holy presence. As we consider the wonder of our God, as we consider thy holiness, as we consider thy majesty, we are bidden once again to fall silent before thee, to come to confess our sins, to come to recognize the wonder and the splendor and the might of the one whom we are here to worship. May we never take these things for granted. May we never treat them casually. May we never pass them off as simply another duty to perform Sabbath by Sabbath as we come into thy house. But oh, that there might be that reality. Oh, that there might be that move of thy Spirit, that heartwarming experience that draws us closer to thee, that when we go from this place we shall be endued with that heavenly power to live and work to thy praise and glory. We come, Lord, as those who need thee. We come as those who constantly fail thee, constantly failing to live up to the standards of thy word, to keep its precepts, to obey thy commandments. And how often, dear Lord, we find ourselves not even living up to our own standards that we would set ourselves. And we need to come again and again, knowing that in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ there is redemption. There is that fountain opened for sin and uncleanness. And we pray, Lord, that as we come so often preoccupied with our sins and our failings, our unrighteousness, our unworthiness, our distance from thee, we pray, Lord, that thou wilt draw us closer, that thou wilt give us that great blessing of thy love surrounding us and that great assurance in our hearts that even sins of the deepest dye are covered by the precious blood of Jesus, that blood will make us every whit whole, that blood alone will cleanse our hearts and make us fit for heaven, because in our own selves and in our own righteousness we're not fit even to come before thee. Our own righteousness is as filthy rags before thee. And how much we need that precious robe that has been woven out, that obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ that wove out for us a robe of righteousness that is his alone, that is imputed to the hearts of thy people. And we do what ask this morning, dear Lord, that each one of us in this service bowed before thee, though small in number, that each one of us shall know thy presence, that each one of us shall know thy forgiveness, that each one of us shall have that blessed assurance that Jesus is ours, and not for the years of time alone, but for eternity. Not a religion that simply will keep us going week by week, not a religion that will simply see an end to our mortal days, but that reality of faith that will last forever and ever, even when we see the dear Lord face to face and tell that story, saved by grace, and we know that is only the start of eternity. What a marvellous blessing, what a wonderful experience for the believer to hold before them of eternity in heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ, all the redeemed souls gathering around the throne, worshipping him forever, where there shall be no night, where there shall be no sorrow, where there shall be no sin, where all the former things have passed away. Oh, dear Lord, such joy, such wonder fills our hearts with gladness and expectancy. And whilst we do not know how long we may sojourn here in this earthly wilderness, yet, Lord, we do know that there is one in heaven who is gathering his people to himself, one who has a book of life. Oh, what a solemn book that is that we read about in the book of Revelation. All whose names were not written in the book of life were cast into the lake of fire. Thy word tells us this. We pray, Lord, that it might be our experience, that we might know that our names are written there. Even as the hymn writer could say, I would not ask, dear Lord, to read my fate with curious eyes, what gloomy lines are writ for me, or what bright scenes might rise in thy fair book of grace and truth. Or may I find my name recorded in some humble place beneath my Lord the Lamb. Be with us, Lord, this morning, we pray, as we meditate on the wonder of the gospel, on the unchanging message that, as one could say, it is old yet ever new. That precious blood of Jesus, it still flows for sinners forever to bring us back to God, to reconcile us, to forgive us our sins, to give us that assurance of a home in heaven. We pray, Lord, this morning that each one of us might have that assurance, might have that confidence. Not an earthly confidence, not a fleshly confidence, but a confidence that is found in thee alone. Be with us then, Lord, we pray, as we come to worship thee. Not only forgive us our sins, but help us to grow in the knowledge and nurture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to know his presence day by day in a greater degree, or that we might be kept in this straight and narrow way that leadeth to eternal life. Lord, we long to be instructed more and more in this holy faith. Help us to look to thy word this morning. May we be edified by it. May it contain some instruction from on high. May it contain those precious messages from the very throne rooms of heaven. May there be that from outside ourselves which encourages us in ourselves to look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Do be with us, Lord, we pray. We sometimes find thy word hard to understand. We sometimes find it hard to read. We're easily diverted. We're easily distracted. We easily turn aside to so many other activities in our lives. But oh, to come to that place of prayer. Oh, that we might say with one of old, I am thine, O Lord, I have heard thy voice. And it told thy love to me, but I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to thee. Oh, the pure delight of a single hour that before thy throne I spend, when I kneel in prayer and with thee, my God, I commune as friend with friend. Help us then, Lord, we pray, as we think of the wonder of worship and the privilege that is ours as we come this morning. Remember the prayers that are laid upon our hearts. Remember the needs of thy people that we are concerned about. Remember and call to mind the supplications that we bring before thy throne week after week, and we hope day by day in our own private devotions. We thank thee for the wonderful Church of Jesus Christ, not a temple that is made by hands, but that which is spiritual. And we rejoice that the spiritual Church of Jesus Christ is being built up day by day. We cannot see it. We cannot see the wind. It bloweth where it listeth. But, O dear Lord, we thank thee that here and there, line upon line, precept upon precept, there are those who have been brought into the kingdom of God. The gospel still goes forth, and thy word has still its ancient power. No word from thee shall fruitless fall. We thank thee for the gospel being preached in so many places across the face of the world, some to very small congregations, some to very large churches, some being heard in isolation in nursing homes and hospitals, by those who are housebound and unable to come to the house of God. We believe that it is important for believers to come to the house of God week by week, unless otherwise hindered. But we pray that whoever hears the message of the gospel this morning may be blessed and enlivened by it. We pray for those who hear the recordings of the services here and the messages. We pray that thou wilt forgive us anything that is spoken amiss, but oh, that there might be that work of grace wrought in the hearts of those who hear thy word. We pray not only for this little church here, for its future, for its building up in faith and grace, but also in numerically. We pray for the churches round us. We think of the struggles that many experience at this time. We're mindful of them. We thank thee, though, that a ministry is still continued in a few places in the north of England, and more so in the southern counties. But we thank thee that wherever thy word goes forth, it will not return unto thee void. It will accomplish that which thou pleasest. It will prosper in the thing whereto thou dost send it. We pray, Lord, for all who hear the word today, that hearts may rejoice, that spirits may be lifted, that the joy of the Lord might be the strength of thy people again. We think of our land and the situations that face us as a nation, not only as a nation but in the whole world, but particularly concerned in our own land. We think of the crises that face us as a people. We think of the cost of living crisis, which is threatening so many, causing so much worry and distress in homes at this present time, particularly those with families and children, particularly those who already are struggling to make ends meet. We think of them particularly. We think of the national situation that causes all these things to happen, and the government that is responsible. Oh dear Lord, we pray that there might be a solution to so many situations, but we know that in many senses the root of it all is the heart of man. that is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. We know that there is so much greed and avarice. We know that there are so many who seek after riches, not realizing that those riches pass away. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. O Lord, help us as a land, we pray. Bless our dear Queen. We constantly remember her. We're bidden to do that. It is a scriptural injunction to remember the royal household and our dear Queen. Be with them, Lord, we pray. Grant that they might minister righteousness and justice. Grant that they may be blessed and led by thy Holy Spirit in what they do. We do not know what their individual lives are like, but we pray that thou wilt draw them close to thyself. Give them the grace and comfort of thy word, we pray, and grant that they may know the Lord Jesus Christ as their own Saviour. We pray for those in need in our families. Pray for those who are distant, separated from us, unable to visit them or be visited on a regular basis. Comfort them, Lord, we pray. Give them the joy of the Lord in their hearts today. And even those who may hear this message in a few days' time, may they know that thy people are uplifting them before the throne of grace. Pray for war-torn lands, the sadness of all these things. We have not got the answer to it. We bring thy faithful people in these lands before thee, that thou wilt comfort them and uphold them, that thou wilt restore to them, that thou wilt give them that vision of the Lord Jesus Christ, that vision of the heavenly city. Oh dear Lord, our hearts sorrow at all we see around us, and yet we know that there is a God on the throne. There is one who worketh all things to the pleasure of his own will, and we rest in thee, dear Lord. Pray that thou wilt help us in all these things. Forgive us our many sins, because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.